You would open your Bibles to Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. We're continuing to look at the idea of human suffering and the so-called problem with evil. And what we're studying right now is Job. Job is a very good example of pain, suffering, death, loss, all of those things. And we saw last time that Job did nothing to deserve the pain and suffering that came into his life. And that is very clear. It's repeated over and over and over and over again. So anytime you hear a sermon or read a book on the sin of Job that caused the suffering, you know it's not true. Okay? We live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where there is pain and there is suffering. So if someone loses a child, someone has a spouse die, someone gets sick, someone gets a disease, you get a flat tire on the way to work. Sometimes, yes, that is God judging you. And sometimes that's just life. And sometimes those things just happen. And sometimes God is not necessarily judging you as much as that is testing to see whether you will live for his glory or whether you love him for the things that he gives. And we'll be talking a little bit about that later on in John 14, the main message. What we're going to look at today is one of the most difficult things for me in the book of Job. We're going to look at Job's desire to talk with God. He does not understand what is going on. He buried 10 children and lost everything he had, and including his health. His wife told him to curse God and die, and his supposed friends are there just raking him over the coals saying, "You deserve this." So Job, we're going to see from many different passages, wants to speak with God, wants to speak with God, wants to speak with God. And then he finally gets his wish, and God comes and talks to him. But that, to me, is one of the parts of the book of Job when I first studied it that aggravated me. It's because God comes, and I'll tell you the end of the story before we get there, and he does not answer a single question Job has. And there's a reason for that. Okay? But Job 10, verse 1. And if you've ever gone through loss, I know many people have gone through loss this past couple years in our church, you will relate completely, totally what Job is doing. And by the way, God does not condemn Job for doing this, so don't feel condemned. "My soul is weary of my life." Job 10, verse 1. "I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, 'Do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me.'" Job says, "I am sick and tired of living with this pain. I would rather die. But I want to ask God, why are you doing this to me?" Now, we sometimes try to portray holiness when we come to church, but the truth be told, that if any of you have gone through any pain or suffering, especially the loss of a loved one, you have had the exact same words go through your mind: why are you doing this to me? The same thing happens when couples are unable to have children. Why is God punishing me? God, why are you doing this? The same thing happens when you get diagnosed with some disease. God, why are you doing this? Why? When we lose loved ones, the same things happen. Okay? Job 13, verse 3. Job is speaking. He says this: "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God." He says, I just want to talk to God, and I want to reason with him and tell him this is not reasonable. Okay, this doesn't make sense. This is not the way things are supposed to be. Again, if you've ever gone through loss, you know exactly what Job is saying and what Job is feeling. And remember that God did not charge Job with sin for these things. So please don't beat yourself up when you say, "I want to know why, and I wish I could talk with God and God would answer me." That's the exact same thing one of the most righteous men that ever lived, Job, did. Verse 15 of chapter 13. In all of this, we're going to see something in Job. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain my own ways before him. He also will be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him." Even in all of this, he says, I don't understand, and I want to hear from God. I want to know why this is happening. I want to reason with him and tell him this doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up. But even if God chooses to take my own life, I will trust him, and he will save me. He will preserve me. He will keep me. As you go through the book of Job is like wallowing in a pit of misery, and there's a couple little peaks in all of it. And this is one of those peaks where he is struggling, and he says, but I know, and I trust God. I don't understand. I want to know why. This isn't fun, but I know that God is good and is going to bring me through this. Okay? Go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Verse 25. This is another one of the high points. This is one of, there's a song to this. I absolutely love the song. Some of my favorite verses in all Scripture. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What he says is this: even though my body is falling apart, even though I'm in suffering and pain, even though I'm mourning and I'm grieving the loss of my children, I know there is going to come a day when I will see God face to face and get answers. He said, there is coming a day. And he knows, and one of the, we're not studying this in the book of Job, but I encourage you to study the book of Job, because you'll find one of the most amazing things is Job has an understanding of a Savior to come. And he calls him a lawyer. He calls him an advocate. He calls him an umpire. He calls him a redeemer. That there is someone that is going to come between him and God and rectify all things. And you'll find this over and over and over again. You know, it's one of the things that my kids learn in their catechism. How were Old Testament saints saved before the coming of Christ? The answer is they believed in the Savior to come. Here is Job, and he knows that he has a Redeemer that will stand on his behalf, and that because of this Redeemer, he will be able to see God even as his body dies and rots. He will be able to see God. And that is his hope. His hope is he doesn't understand. I mean, I want you to understand, we know more about what happened to Job than Job did. Job didn't know Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 with God and Satan talking about that. Job didn't know that. We do. Job had no idea what was going on. All he knew is that one day he had a happy family, the next day it was gone. One day he had wealth, the next day it was gone. One day he had health, the next day it was gone. Everything was gone, and he had no idea why. But he knew that even if he lost all things, including this life, that God would preserve him, and that he would see God, and that there would come a day when he would have his answers. Chapter 23, verse 3. Again, if you have ever really experienced pain, suffering, and grief, you will understand exactly what Job is saying here. Oh, verse 3 of chapter 23. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Where is God? If I could just find out where he was so I could talk to him. He wants answers from God. He said that I might come even to his seat. You don't have to answer this, but those of you who've gone through intense suffering, if I could tell you that God right now was sitting on his throne somewhere in South Africa, you would sell everything you have right now, get a plane ticket, and go. Because you want to reason with God, and you want to say, God, I am hurting because of what you did, and I want to know why. That's Job. You tell me where God is, and I will go. Keep reading. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. You don't think Job has been thinking through everything that's happened to him and why it doesn't add up? You don't think he could make a good defense of why he shouldn't have lost his kids? Don't you think he has a good reason to why he shouldn't be sick and pain and suffering? He said, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. He said, I would go there so I could hear God talk back. One of the most excruciating, painful things you can experience is when God is quiet. And when you're hurting and you pray and you hear nothing back. Job says, I just want an answer. I just want to hear God tell me why. I want God to explain to me. I want to give God my reasons. And then if I'm wrong, he can show me where I'm wrong. Okay? He wants to talk with God. Keep reading. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, he will put strength in me. Notice he's not scared of God. He knows that if God would speak to him and explain it to him, it would help him get through it, right? I mean, haven't you felt this way? If God could just explain to me what he was doing, that would help me so much. If I could just understand what was going on, that would give me the strength to make it through the next day. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left, where does he work? I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. You ever felt that way? No matter what I do, no matter which way I go, no matter how much I cry, how much I pray, how much I read, it's as if God has just abandoned me and left me. And if I go to the front of the church, no different than being at the back of the church. I know people who've been through suffering, and they say, you know what? I can go to church. I don't feel the presence of God. I don't feel he answers my prayers. I feel the same way at home. Why even go? And let's be honest, before you point fingers at other people, if you've ever lost a loved one or gone through some deep pain and suffering, you felt the exact same way. Okay? Job says, if I go east, west, north, south, you tell me the direction. I've tried it. I've done it. And I don't have an answer. Verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. Notice Job, again, this is one of the high points. He doesn't understand what God is doing, but he knows that God does. He doesn't know where God is, but he knows that God knows where he is. And he says, when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. He says, I'm going to make it through this, and I will be better for it. Now, he doesn't understand what's going on. But he understands that God is there and that God knows. Now, he wants to know what God knows, but he knows that God is going to bring him through it. Job 31. Job 31. Verse 35. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me. Have you ever just screamed at God, why won't you answer me? I have. So did Job. Why won't you answer me? Why won't you tell me what's going on? Keep reading. That my adversary had written a book, surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. Okay. He said, I wish that what I have done, whatever sin I've committed, whatever accusations were written down, I would dance if somebody would tell me what I did to deserve this. And again, I think many people have felt that. Okay? If you would just tell me what I did to deserve this, that would make me happy. If I just knew why, write it down. I don't care if it's all a lie. Just give it to me. I don't care if I'm falsely accused. Whatever it is, tell me why this is happening. Keep reading. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. Know what he says? He said, then I could give a defense. Job feels like his whole life's on trial, and he's being prosecuted, and he's not allowed in the courtroom. He doesn't know why he's being prosecuted, doesn't know why he's being found guilty. But he said, man, if you just let me in the courtroom, I'll tell you the truth. God, if you would just hear me for a minute, I would tell you. And then he says, I would act as a prince. What does he mean by that? He's not going to come groveling in. I mean, don't we read in Hebrews we can come boldly before the throne of grace? What prince is scared to go into his dad's office? To go before the throne? He's saying, you know what? I will gladly go in that courtroom. I will gladly walk into the presence of God. I will gladly walk in if he would just speak to me and tell me why this is happening. Job struggles immensely. He wants to know why. And God is silent. He wants God to speak. And God does not answer. He wants to know, why is this happening? And God does not tell. Now here is the part where the book of Job gets very, 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 very interesting, but very, very frustrating. That's Job 38. Job gets half of his wish. We're going to read all of God's answer to Job. And we're going to read it for a special reason. One, Job has Almighty God come down from heaven and speak audibly to him. Did Job get what he wanted? Yes. That is what he has been screaming for. That is what he has been crying for. That is what he's been praying for. And God comes down and speaks to Job. We're going to read the whole thing. But you know what you will notice? Is that God never tells him why. God does not mention his children. God does not mention his health. God does not mention any of his loss. God does not even address anything that is going on in Job's life. And when I first read this, and that hit me, it kind of made me mad. It's like, this man wants to know why, God, and you just show up and start talking about snow and trees and animals and dinosaurs. And how does this help? Let's read through it. And I want you to see, we're going to read for quite a bit. We're going to read in Job 38, verse 1. We're going to read for several chapters. And I want you to just listen to what God says. I'm going to come back and we'll explain what God is doing. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, and I will demand of you an answer thou me. Now, Job has been asking God questions. Why? Why? Notice God's answer. He just asked Job's questions. He says, answer me. Job, you have questions for me. I will answer your questions when you answer my questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Answer me. Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measure thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it broke forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness the swaddling band for it and broke up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shall you come but no further and here shall your proud waves be stayed. He said, tell me how big the earth is. Tell me how much it weighs. Tell me how it stays in space. Tell me how the tides stop at a certain place every day. Tell me how when the waves come in, they know where to stop. Tell me why I made it that way. Tell me who decided how that was going to be. Tell me how the world was formed. Tell me all about it, Job. I want an answer. You want answers? I want answers. I'll answer your questions when you answer mine. Keep reading. He says, have you commanded the morning since your days and caused the dayspring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal and a stand as a garment. And the wicked, their light is withhold, and the high arm shall be broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Have you walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened to you? Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? He says, tell me about how the sun rises and how it hardens the clay and how it goes all the way around the earth. Tell me what it's like to walk on the bottom of the ocean. Tell me what happens after man dies. What does death look like? What does it look like to actually go through death? Tell me, Job. Keep reading. Have you perceived the breadth of the earth? How big is the world? Declare if you know it all. Where is the way where light dwells? As for darkness, where is the place thereof?
that you should take it to the bound thereof, and that you should know the paths of the house thereof. Knowest thou it because you were then born, or because the number of your days is great? Job, you're an old man. You should know this stuff by now. Keep reading. Have you entered into the treasures of snow, or have you seen the treasures of the hail, which I reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scatters the east wind upon the earth? How does the light cause wind? Okay. Who has divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or the way for the lightning of thunder? Who decides the path that lightning goes on? Who decides that? Who decided which way the rivers would flow? To cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man. To satisfy the desolate waste ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Has the rain a father? Who's begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who's gendered it? Where does all the weather patterns come from? I like watching the weather, on my phone, because it's funny. Because they change literally every hour. You know, in the morning, it's 80% chance of rain. By 9 o'clock, it's 70. By 10 o'clock, it's 60. By 1 o'clock, it's 40. By 2 o'clock, it's 80 again. They have no idea. Job doesn't know. Job doesn't even have Doppler radar. Okay? The waters are hid as with a stone. The face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Maseroth in a season? Or can you guide Arcturus with the sun? Talking about the constellations. How do the stars move? How do they stay in the same place? How do you know when each season, as the earth rotates, who determined where the stars are going to be? Do you know the ordinance of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover you? Can you just make clouds appear out of the sky, Job? Can you send lightning that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in heaven? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust grows into the hardness and the clods cleave fast together, who can stop it from raining? Keep reading. Will you hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? Who feeds all the animals? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait, who provides for the ravens as food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Do you know the time when the wild goats of the rock spring forth? Or can you mark when the hinds do calve? Do you know when animals are going to give birth? Do you know when they got pregnant? Do you know how many kids they're going to have? Okay, keep reading. Can you number the number of months they fulfill? Okay, you go to the cattle market. Guess what they do? They guess how many months bred the cow is. They write all the time, Dwight?
They off a little bit,
quite often. They get a good guess. But only God knows. As a farmer, you can get a general idea that, yeah, that cow's going to give birth here in a couple weeks. But you don't know. You'll never know. Keep reading. Where are we at here? They bow themselves, verse 3 of 39. They bring forth their young ones. They cast out their sorrows. Your young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not to them. Who has set out the wild donkey free? Or who's loosed the bands of the wild donkey? Whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwellings? He scorns the multitude of the city, neither regards he the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture. He searches after every green thing. Will the unicorn be willing to serve you, or to abide by your crib? Can you bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after you? Will you trust him because his strength is great, or will you leave your labor to him? Will you believe him that he will bring home your seed and gather it into your barn? Did you give the goodly wings to the peacocks, or wings and feathers to the ostrich, which leaves her eggs in the earth and warms them in the dust, forgets that the foot may crush them, or the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without her, because God has deprived her of wisdom, neither has he imparted her understanding. Why do some animals just abandon their nest and wander off? Why do some animals mate for life? Some don't. How come a horse takes so much for you to take care of it, yet they survive so well by themselves out in the plains? Have you ever thought about that? How much money do y'all people spend taking care of horses? And yet somehow they just live fine elsewhere. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, just try it. Just let your horses roam free on your property and see how well that works out for you. It won't. Yet we can't understand that. All right, keep reading. What time she lifts up herself on high, she scorns the horse and his rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you make him afraid as a grasshopper?
Okay? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paws in the valley. He rejoices in his strength. He goes on to meet the armed men. He mocks the fear. He's not afraid. Neither turns he back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swallows the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believes he that it's the sound of the trumpet. He says among the trumpets, aha, and he smells the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains, the shouting. He talks about horses. He talks about a war horse. A war horse that will charge into battle, yet get spooked when a grasshopper jumps beside it. How many of you have ever seen that happen with horses? How many of you can explain that? A horse that will spook at a grasshopper, yet charge into war. Do you understand that? We can't answer it. Keep reading. Does the hawk fly by his wisdom and stretch her wings to the south? Who taught the animals how to fly? Does the eagle mount up at your command to make her nest on high? She dwells and abides in the rock, upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place. From there she should seek prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there she is. Have you ever wondered how a vulture knows where dead animals are? Isn't that absolutely astounding? I mean, it is amazing how some animal that is completely out of sight can know the moment you run over an armadillo on the road. And within minutes, they'll be there. How do they do that? You know, my kids were watching a nature video, and I think they said sharks can smell a drop of blood, like one drop of blood in the water 5 miles away. How? How does that work? What was it? A bloodhound could smell one drop of sweat how many miles away?
Like
2 miles away. A bloodhound can smell one drop of sweat. How? Now, we have a whole bunch of technology Job didn't have. God says, Job, you have questions? I have questions. Give me an answer. Just answer one of my questions. You know what? So far, we can't. Keep reading. Moreover, the Lord answered Job. God's not done. Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. He says, Job, you want answers? Answer my questions. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What will I answer you? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job says, you know what? I got nothing to say. I can't answer your questions, Lord. I think I'll shut up now. Okay? Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind. God's not done. Gird up your loins now like a man. I will demand of you and declare to me. He said, Job, I want answers, Job. I want answers. Will you disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? You don't think I know what I'm doing, Job? Job, I just asked you simple questions about nature, about the tides, about the stars, about horses, about birds. And you want to ask questions about far deeper things? If you cannot understand the smallest thing of nature, what makes you think you will understand the very depths of the wisdom of God? Keep reading. Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Job, I want you to execute judgment in the world like I do. I mean, can we really know who is genuinely a sinful man and unrepentant? Do you really want to be set up as judge of all the earth? You know, there's a couple people that are on our planet that are crazy enough to want to be president. Not me. Not me. Even the people that want to be president, we say, well, they're crazy. No sane person in their right mind would want to be a sole judge of every person on planet earth. Job, you're a smart man. Do you really want to rule the earth? Keep reading. Let's see. Look on verse 12. Look on everyone that is proud. Bring them low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in secret. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Behold, now Behemoth, which is with you. He eats grass as an ox, though now his strength is in his loins, his force in the nape of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach to him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lies under the shady trees in the covert of reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass about. Behold, he drinks of a river and hastes not. He trusts that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He takes it with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares. It describes what we would commonly refer to as one of those really, really big giant dinosaurs. I have no idea what they're called. But they're really, 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 really big ones. Yeah, that's what he describes. They would have been alive at the time of Job. He says, Job, explain that animal to me. Why don't you go rope that one down and have it plow your fields for you, Job? Job doesn't understand. Verse 1, 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which you let down? Can you put a hook in his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Leviathan, there's many different questions about this. It would appear to be some type of dinosaur, similar to what we would call a dragon. Many scientists would believe that the legends of the dragons are not necessarily legends as much as based upon a true story that there was some animal, some type of dinosaur very similar to what we would call the legends. And you're going to see here about him breathing smoke and those type of things. It would appear that he's talking about what we would call a dragon. Okay? Can you put a hook into his nose or bore his jaws with a thorn? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak soft words to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Who wants a dragon for a house cat? That's what he's saying. Okay, go tame him. Well, why don't you go house train that dragon, Job, since you're so wise? Will you play with him as the bird? Or will you bind him with your maidens? Will you let him play with your little kids? Shall the companions make a banquet for him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay your hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. In other words, verse 8 is touch him. That'll be the last thing you ever do. Okay? Keep reading. Verse 9. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Job, if you can't contend with a dragon, you're going to walk in like a prince before me? Job, you can't stop Leviathan? Yet you're going to understand that what I'm doing is not the way you would have done it? Keep reading. Let's see here. Where will we leave off? Verse 11. Who has prevented me that I should repay him? Whoever's under the whole heaven is mine. He said, I own everything. You know what? Leviathan does what I tell him to do. Job doesn't know it, but even Satan does what God tells him to do. Keep reading. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? You want to go ride a dragon? Go have fun with that. Who can open the doors of his face? Go clean his teeth, okay? Go pry his mouth open. His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut together as with a closed seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his sneezings, a light does shine. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. And his neck remains strength. His sorrows turn to joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reasons of breaking, they purify themselves. The sword of him that lays at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteems iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laughs at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreads sharp-pointed things upon the mire. He makes the deep to boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He makes a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not his like who is made without fear. He beholds all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Says Job, when you can stop and you can control the dragon, then come talk to me about what I'm doing. Now, that is the end. That is what Job got. Kind of almost leaves you kind of empty, doesn't it? This man buried 10 kids. in one day. And this is God's answer. Now, we are left with one of two options. One, say this is nuts and walk away from the faith. Or two, look at Job's response. Look at Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and no thought can be withholden from you. God comes down and says, Job, you got questions? Look at me, Job. I got answers to questions that you don't know. I can do anything, things you can't do. And I know things you don't know. And Job's answer is, you're right, Lord. You can do anything, and you know everything. And by implication, I don't. Keep reading. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Who is the one who's spoken when he didn't know what he was talking about? I have uttered what I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you and declare thou unto me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye sees you. You know what he says? All right, God, can I just have one more thing to say? I thought I knew about you, but it was like hearing how beautiful the Grand Canyon is and then actually seeing it for yourself. This frustrates us. But if you want to know the key to making it through suffering, it is in Job 38, 39, 40, and 41. Think of it this way. Your two-year-old wants to eat ice cream for dinner. And you say, no. You can have ice cream afterwards, but now you have to eat green beans. How well does that go over? Oh, my goodness, they throw a temper tantrum, don't they? So what you do is you take out a microscope. And you take the green beans and you put them in the microscope. And you show them all the way the green bean is put together. And you take it to a lab. And you let that two-year-old go through the lab. And let them get the readout of all the vitamins and minerals that are in green beans. And you set it down before the two-year-old, who can't even read. And you say, see, you need these minerals. You need these vitamins. Now let's do the same thing with ice cream. How many of y'all have ever done that with your kids? Why didn't you do that? Because even if they could read, and even if they could kind of grasp what you were talking about, they'd still want ice cream for dinner. I'm 32 and I still want ice cream for dinner. So the reason, why would we think it'd be any different with God? What you need to know is that God loves you, and that God knows everything, even things you have never considered, and that God is all-powerful, and that He is working all things together for your good, and that it is good, it is perfect, as for God, His way is perfect, Scripture says. And you just have to trust Him. And what Job sees is not what God is doing, he sees who God is. You see, we want to know what God is doing. But let me just tell you, even if you knew what God was doing, one, you wouldn't understand it. So what do you need to know? Who God is. That's why when we've been looking at this, we looked at God's sovereignty, God's goodness. You need to know who God is, not what God is doing. Very good quote. Somewhere in my notes here. Charles Spurgeon. God is too good
to be unkind. And he is too wise to be mistaken. When we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. What that means very simply is this. Exactly what Job said. God is good, and he is too good to make a mistake. And God is wise. God is sovereign. And God is doing everything for your good. He loves you too much to go, oops, I didn't think about that. He knows too much to go, oh, I wish I would have thought of that before I made that decision. So when I don't understand what God is doing, I need to trust who God is. And that is what sustains Job. Job does not get an answer to his questions. And Job realizes he never needed an answer to begin with. What he needed to know was that God was sovereign, God was good, and that God loved him. And what he needed to do is trust him. The just shall live by answers to their questions. The just shall live by knowing exactly what God is doing. The just shall live by faith. And there is one question. Will you trust him even if he slays you? That's it. The way you make it through suffering is you trust that God is good and he makes no mistakes, even though it really, really looks like he did. Even though it really, really, really looks like that God just kind of took a nap on his throne and then woke up and went, oh no, I really blew it. You have to trust that he didn't. Why? Why? How many of your kids have asked you that question incessantly? And eventually, you run out of answers, don't you? How many of you have ever had a child in the why stage? Daddy, why are we going here? Well, because we need to go here. Well, why do we need to go there? Well, because we need to eat we need to get groceries. Why do we need groceries? Because we need to eat. Why do we need to eat? Because we don't want to starve. Well, why would we starve if we don't eat? Well, because your body needs nutrients. Well, why do you need nutrients? Well, because that's the building block of cells. Well, why is that the building block of cells? Because that's the way God made it. Well, why did God make it that way? You all know how it goes. And what do you eventually say? Just trust me. That is the way you make it through suffering. And if you ask any Christian who has ever gone through suffering, they will say, I have a million questions and I have no answers. And oh boy, do I want to stand before God and get an answer. I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem right. Why would God do this to me? Why would God do this to my spouse? Why would God do this to my loved one? Why would God do this? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And they ask, well, how are you making it through it? I just have to trust God. That he is good. And that he loves me. And he will work it together for my good. And I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. If I was God, I would have done it entirely differently. But God knows what he's doing. And I will trust him. That is the only way to make it through suffering. Is the just shall live by faith. When you cannot see his hand, you have to trust his heart. When you do not understand what God is doing, you just have to understand who God is. And that is that he is good. That he loves you, and that he is working all things together for your good. Any questions or comments? Bob?
One of the books that I've recommended over the years to deal with a lot of these issues is Jerry Bridges' book by Washington Press, Trusting God. excellent, excellent book dealing with the sovereignty of God, dealing with, you know, he had a wife that came down with Marquette or whatever. The issues are great. And one of the chapters that I really hung on to myself was choosing to trust God. And it was a great resource, very easy to read. Once again, Trusting God by Jerry Bridges and Constant Correction. Get it off of Amazon.
Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. Very good book. All right. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. We sing a song, it will be worth it all. And it will. And that's why we live by faith. Because Paul talks about the afflictions and sufferings of this life do not compare with the glory hereafter. It's the verses Amanda's talking about. But, you know, the song, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Life's trials will seem so small. It's a song, but it's a lot of truth to that. And we just have to trust him. Go through a lot of pain. Oh my goodness, we go through a lot of pain. But I tell you something very interesting. I love reading Christian biographies. Oh, I love reading Christian biographies. Because you think you have it bad. The most amazing Christian men you have ever read of were some of the most extreme suffering people you've ever met. Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes, suffered so immensely that he was so depressed he could barely get out of bed. And I struggled with depression. By God's grace, I've gotten a lot of victory over that. But I used to look at Spurgeon and go, I wish I was like him. And then I read. And I said, you know what, Lord? Thanks for making me the way I am. One of my favorite books of all time, Susan's getting in the library, is the story of John Patton. John Patton was a missionary to the South Pacific. And within a few weeks of landing, he buried his wife, buried his child. Of the wave of missionaries that went with him, he was the only one that wasn't killed and eaten. And for 10 years, he labored, and not a single person was saved. And then every single person on the island came to know Christ. Everyone. He led the entire island to faith in Christ. You read that and you go, man, I want to be just like him. He buried his wife and kids and watched all his friends get killed. You want to see great Christian men? They went through experiences like Job. You say, oh, I want to be great. I want to be great. One of my favorite songs is by, oh, help me out, Ian. What's the name of that song? I Asked the Lord That I Might Grow by Newton. Yes, by John Newton. Favorite song of all time. Look it up. I asked the Lord that I might grow. And he was praying that he might become a great Christian man. And then everything in his whole life fell apart. And he went through tremendous pain and suffering. And I love that song. Because at the end of it, he understands why. And that is that God was wanting him to trust him. The only way you grow through faith is by having it tested and tried. So let's trust the Lord. All right. Dan, you close in prayer?